from twist, the original language, the Latin. That word wick comes from twist. And that's how you do a wick. That's why they named that a wick. You have to twist it. So we know what that is. Wicked, wicked people, wickedness, twisted, twist. We live in a twisted day, a twisted society, twisted politics. But then I looked at these words and I really thought about deceit. What does deceit really mean? In the past few years, we've seen what we would call a lot of deceitful people. So I looked that up. And the Webster's Dictionary says the act of something you do. Deceit is something you do. The act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. And it comes from the Latin word, deceit comes from the Latin word for cheat. Trying to cheat people. You're being deceitful. You're trying to cheat people. You're trying to get them to accept something that's true or that is untrue and invalid as being true or valid. And boy, do we not see a lot of that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We see a lot of that. Turn on TV. Watch the politicians. Watch them. Watch them debate. They'll twist this stuff. They're being deceitful. They're trying to make something that is valid, invalid, and they're trying to make something that's invalid, valid. So they are deceitful. And that's the age we live in, deceitfulness. It's everywhere.
Yes.
I saw the other day where the president did the declaration for the letting the boys who think they're girls compete on girls' teams. Now let me tell you something. Any boy that is a sorry loser on a boy's team, now all he's got to do is say, well, I think I'm a girl. And even usually the worst boy athlete is better than the best girl athlete because he has more strength. Yeah, I mean, it's just our nature. Men are built to be the ones that go out and hunt and gather and climb the hill and bust the rocks, you know. And so these boys have more strength in their legs and their arms than girls do. So naturally, they're going to take over this sport. And those poor girls are going to be deprived. Listen now, they're going to be deprived of scholarships that would have got them into college. Poor girls. And they want to talk about prejudice. A lot of those black girls, the only way they're ever going to get to go to college is on a scholarship. And that boy's going to steal it from her. Makes me mad. But they're deceitful. See? They want to say, well, what you're saying is invalid. What we're saying is valid because you can't declare what somebody thinks in their head. Nobody can look at your body and tell what you are. What God made you. If you don't want to be that, then you need to take it up with God. You know, don't take it out on some little old girl that can't compete with you. And by the way, if a man ever walks in, and by the way, now all bathrooms are open. All over the country. Yes, that was part of it. All bathrooms are open. Let me catch a man in the bathroom, one of my daughters. And he won't go out the same way he went in.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You say, well, that's violence. No, he's wicked and deceitful. Here, he prayed, let death seize upon them, let them go down quick into hell. And we talk like that. We're mean. We're wicked. See, they twist it. I don't want anybody to go to hell, but if they're going to destroy young people's minds and hearts, then maybe we just ought to say, Lord, open it up. Yes. Open it up, Lord. These people are deceitful. They're wicked. They're trying to make true or valid what is false or invalid. They twist it. Communists have been doing this since the 1930s. Communists, the Nazis did it.
Yeah.
The Nazis took hard-working people called Jews, Hebrews, who were very successful people because God blessed Hebrews everywhere they ever lived in the world. Look at Abraham. Everywhere he went, the country prospered, and the king wouldn't recognize it. And the Nazis took those people and made enemies out of them because they said they were thieves and crooks and liars and reprobates and filthy and all this stuff. And they took away everything they had and threw them in concentration camps. And today is the anniversary of that. And so you tell me who was right. The ones that herded them into the gas chamber saying it was the right thing to do, or the poor old Jew that said this ain't right to do. They twisted it so that all the German people would make them think that Hitler was right and the Jew was wrong. Well, I got news for you. God showed them who was right.
Amen.
And Germany ain't never been nothing since, and they never will be.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. There's a lot of deceitfulness going on. It's going on in America's pulpits. They've made money their God. They've made materialism their God. They've made entertainment their God. Whatever happened to cry aloud, spare not, show my people their sins. And then that other word. Go back and look at it again. In verse 11, wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. Now, the deceitful people, they were continually busy running up down the street deceiving, and then guile. So I thought, well, now I'm a Southern boy, and sometimes we mispronounce words, but I'm, by the way, I was an A+ student in English, and I went to advanced classes. Of course, I was too lazy to stay there. But the A's just came natural. But to go to the next class, that was going to take a little work, and I wasn't ready for that. So I learned how to use a dictionary. So I looked it up. Guile, the quality of being good at deceiving people. The quality of being good at deceiving people. Well, we've got some professional, I guess you call them guilers. I don't know what you call them. I call them crooks. But we've got some professional people that have a quality of being good at deceiving people. Do you know how many people in the world today are deceived by these wicked people? Do you know how many people in America are deceived by these wicked people? They say good is bad and bad is good and vice versa. And they flip things around and they twist things and they make something wicked look like something righteous, and something righteous looks like it's unholy. And these people are professionals at this. And they make a living doing it. And they make a lot of money doing it. And while they're claiming that they're helping the poor downtrodden races and the poor downtrodden confused sexual people all the time, they're raking in the cash and it never makes it to those people. It's awful. Our church is the same way. I was talking to Nick Vinesett. I had lunch with him. By the way, when I went to pay, somebody had already paid for our lunch. I've never had that happen, but we were sitting there, we were being kind of loud talking about the Bible and Bible verses, you know, in church and all this. And I guess a Christian just overheard us. And when I went to pay, the young lady said, somebody's already paid your bill.
Praise God.
I started to say that wasn't the first time. The other time he paid it. but I said, somebody paid my bill? And she said, yeah. I said, who was it? And she named a name I'd never heard of. I said, well, praise God. Here, let me invite you to church. I got to talk to her about the Lord. But we live in a time where there's very little honesty. And Nick and I were talking. Our churches have been invaded by deceitful people that's full of guile. They jockey for positions of authority in the church. Used to be the church, you looked at it as a position of servanthood. Now they look at it as positions of authority and power. And they're right if you go to Elevation, which has probably, and I don't know how many churches they got. I think they have four, but they have about 10,000 members. And of course, that's a lot of income. And if you entertain them every week, a little bit better every week, you might get a little more, you know. And you think about these people, there's a lot of money involved in that. Millions and millions of dollars. And there's a lot of deceitful people full of guile that will do anything they have to do to get a position of power in a church. I've been there. I've been against them before. I've had to fight them. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And they have that quality of being good at deceiving people. We want to get mad at people. We say, why don't they see it? Why don't they see what they're doing to us? Why don't they see? Why don't people see it? Why are they like sheep going to the slaughter? Because they've been listening to people who have a quality of being good at deceiving people. I'll go somewhere. Look, I can, and you can, turn on a TV preacher or a preacher on YouTube or something, and immediately the Holy Spirit say, deception, leave it alone. Immediately. We don't have a problem. And then other people, they'll sit there, and they don't know enough about the scriptures to know that they're being deceived, and these people are on purpose being good at deceiving these people. Our nation, our politics are full of it. Our churches are full of it. Sad to say, every institution in America has now been invaded by guile. Psalm 55, verse 19. God shall hear. Well, I'm glad God hears. God shall hear and afflict them. Oh, my goodness. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. You know, I wrote myself a note down here, believers don't count on evil works, but on God. We don't count on deceiving people in order to get what we need. We count on God to get what we need. We don't have to go on a campaign of deception to get people to like us or to follow us or have our needs met. We depend on God to do that. And then we don't return evil for evil either. We let God take care of it.
Yes.
Now, more than one time I've said it, and I've experienced it more than one time. If you'll just go and do what you're supposed to do, God will take care of the guile persons. You know, when I was younger in the ministry, I was scared to death what people said about me. And somebody'd come and say, did you hear what so-and-so said? It would break my heart. And I'd think, what can I do to stop this? And there was nothing you could do. You can't stop people from talking. Except tell the people they're talking to they're a liar and quit listening to them. But that don't mean they will. So you know what you do? You outlive them. You outlive your enemy. You just keep plodding along, straight and narrow, do what you're supposed to do, and count on God to remove them.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to get up and defend yourself. He'll defend you. God will judge and punish them. See, that's what went wrong in Washington. We had a crowd up there thought they was going to fix this. They got mad. They got upset. And I know there were some crooks involved, but there was a lot of good people went too far too. And look, they thought, well, we're going to get even. We're going to fix this. No, you can't do that. You should have done like you're supposed to. Just stand there and listen, pray, expect God to do delivering. And God will. Look at verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Amen.
Are you right with God? Well, stay there. If you just keep on, God will keep you going. All you got to do is just do what you know and let that other crowd do what they want to do. And sure, expose them if you get the opportunity, but don't try to get even. God's going to be the one that gets even. Jesus said, if they smite you on the right cheek, give them your left, you know. But the Old Testament says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's God's judgment there. God will do the judging. Man, there's been many times I just wanted to go to somebody's house and just slap the Jesus in them, you know, or something. Amen. Amen. But I didn't do it. Had a bunch of three or four guys one time. I had this little old black guy in my church one time. He was from down around Charleston, James Island. I think his name was James. I can't remember. Look, just dark black man, black. When he first started coming, he was a crackhead. And he lived in the crackhead part of town. Little old man. And he talked that James Island, you know, the Geechee or whatever they call it, you know. And I couldn't half understand what he said. But he told me one day at church, he said, he couldn't say pastor, he said pastor. These three guys said they're coming over to your house, pastor, and they're going to beat you. And I told him, you better not mess with that man. He might kill you. If he don't, God will. He said, they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. But wait a minute. Don't you worry about him. Said, cast your cares on the Lord. He'll sustain thee. And then, when everything goes with a person, it's almost sure to be their ruin. What I'm saying is this. If these people keep going the direction they're going, deceitful, guile, wicked, mischief, violence, causing sorrow, it's going to kill them too. You can't take fire into your bosom and not be burned.
That's right.
In the end, they'll die. That's why Jesus told Peter, put your sword up. Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
I hope some of you are. Amen. Listen. Read Psalm 56. Look at Psalm 56. In Psalm 56, he's asking God to be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Most High. Let me tell you something. If everybody likes you, there's something wrong with you. I'm telling you, sir, if you don't have any enemies, I'd be checking up. Because everybody doesn't like God. If they don't like him, they shouldn't like you. And if they do, you're a man pleaser. That means you'll just say whatever they want to hear so they'll like you. But that's a dangerous thing because, by the way, you got to remember they're twisters. It doesn't matter what you say, they're going to twist it. So why would you want them to like you anyway? Look at verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Did you know our fear should lead to faith?
Right.
What time I'm afraid, he said, that's fear. But then he said, what time I'm afraid, that's going to lead me to trust you. Did you know we trust him more when we're afraid than we do when we're not afraid?
Absolutely.
And if all things work together for the good of them that's called, for them that's called, does not the fear work good for us too, to drive us to faith?
Yes, sir.
If you think it doesn't, go to the doctor and get a cancer diagnosis. It'll put the fear, will you say the fear of God in you.
Amen.
It'll drive you to faith.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then he says in verse 4, in God, I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Wow. Look at, skip down to verse 8 for a second time. Verse 8, he says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. And you tell me the word is not important. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me.
Yes.
Thy vows are upon me, O God. Do you know what that means? He's saying, you've put some promises on me. You have vowed you'll save me. You vowed you'll keep me. You vowed you'd supply all my needs for your riches and glory. You vowed that you'd direct my path. You vowed that nothing formed against me can hurt me. Now, God, you put those vows on me. I'm not telling you what to do, God. I'm just reminding you what you said you'd do. I will render praises unto thee. When you think like that, you'll start praising the Lord. I can't understand why people go to church and won't sing. They say, I can't sing. Oh, make a joyful noise. You suppose, he said, praise the Lord. He didn't say be a professional singer. By the way, I've heard some professional singers. They don't do it good as you do. I watched part of that inauguration the other day when they sang the sorriest example of amazing grace I ever heard in my life. Did you see that? It was awful. The man was awful, and he's supposed to be a great country music singer. God help us if he is. But I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? He said, I'm going to trust your promises, Lord. I may have a testimony of God's power if I do. You know what the world really needs to see? Not somebody that says they're a believer, but somebody that lives that they're a believer. Not somebody says they believe the word, but they practice and preach the word. Did you know you can put just about any argument to silence by simply quoting scripture? They'll shut up. They don't know what else to say. And besides that, the scripture has power. Don't argue with people about the Bible. Quote them the Bible. You say, well, they said this, and I don't know where to find it. Look in your concordance, go home, find the verses. Next time you see them, say, you know, last time you said, let me tell you what the Bible says. Quote them those verses. They'll leave you alone. But listen, he said, faith should lead away from fear, and fear should lead to faith. And that we ought to trust God's vows or his promises. And he said, if we'll do that, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. Look, we need to quit worrying about all this stuff. Quit being afraid. Start walking by faith, living by faith, talking by faith. And if we'll do that, God will take care of us. But see, when we get afraid and we start mouthing off our fears, then what we're doing, we're doubting God. We're really saying, I don't believe God can take care of me. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We got a whole, at least one generation I've been watching the past few months. The youngest next to you, not little kids, but their parents, who are scared to death of everything. They've never even had the flu, and they're scared to death to get a virus. They've never had chicken pox. They've never had measles. They've never had mumps. I mean, the thrill of mumps. You remember that? The thrill of mumps. And measles. And chicken pox. They ain't never even had a sinus infection or a bad cold. They've been overtaken care of. We've ruined the whole generation by taking trouble out of their way. And now they don't know what to do when trouble comes. They run scared. Where you and I, we didn't have nowhere else to go but lay in the bed and say, Lord, help. If you ain't going to heal me, kill me. I can't take it no more. That's what I used to pray with the flu. But I'm going to walk by faith. And I'm going to cast my burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain me. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm going to let death seize upon them and let them go quick down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I'll call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. Now you listen to me. I think we could have a picture of the day that we live in right here. And you know what it's an opportunity to do? Like he said, let me walk in the light of the living. Amen. It gives us an opportunity to shine. And Jesus said we're supposed to let our candle shine. Don't hide it under a bush. And now with all this going on, with the whole world wringing their hands because they've been deceived by deceitful and guile people and wicked people, and they're being hurt by these people, and when they start crying out, I don't know what to do, and how do you get along? Well, I'm just trusting the Lord. That's all I can do. I know him. Do you know him? I think a lot of people get saved if we would. Instead, the TV preacher is going on television telling how great everything is and how great it will be. And boy, you give me your money and you're going to get rich. And I tell you what, you might get a jet airplane like you bought me. He's not crying aloud trying to warn people, Brother Ed. He's not telling them that wicked and deceitful people and people, hurtful people are ruining the world because he's one of them. Boy, get back to reading the Old Testament. Woo! The prophet of God's come out and say, prepare to meet thy God. Today, God's going to kill you all. I'm telling you, man. Look at Elijah. He goes up there and says, you bunch of hypocrites. You're not a prophet of God. You're a false prophet, and I'm going to prove it. And challenges them. And calls on his God and tells him, call on your God. I'll wait on you. See if he'll take your sacrifice. And boy, he made fun of them while they was calling. It's getting close to that Muslim thing now. You can turn on live TV from over there in, where is that big box they walk around?
Mecca.
They're starting already. By the time it's through, there'll be millions walking around at one time. Some even get trampled to death. There'll be so many. And they're worshiping this one little rock. It's about that big in the side of that big giant temple thing, that box. They're inside of a giant temple. But this thing's in a big old square box and they march round and round and they're supposed to whip themselves with whips and they're supposed to beat themselves. And most of them don't do it. But that's what they're supposed to be doing. Boy, wouldn't it be good if some old prophet walk out there on the edge of that arena and say, cry louder, he must be asleep, he don't hear you. Well, that's being prejudiced. No, it's just being true. There's one God. There's one Lord. There's one baptism. There's one church. There's one Bible. That's it. And we got to get back to that. Don't let people deceive you. Wicked people hurt you by deceiving you. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. God, we use it for all matters of faith and practice all through our life. But God, I pray we'd start quoting it more. Not just hide it in our heart that we might not sin against thee, but hide it in our head that we might help others not sin against thee. And Lord, thank you. We still got some real believers. There's some, God. I know. You had 1,000 hid up in the cave back then. And I know you got some real churches. There's still some good ones around. And there's still some real preachers, some real Christians. Lord, I pray we'd rise up out of fear into faith and cry aloud and spare not and lift up our voice. And Lord, we ask you to intervene in our land today. There's no way to pass laws to fix this stuff that's going on. There's not enough policemen to enforce these things. But God, you can see down from heaven and you can send us a revival. You can revive our land. Used to be politicians were, they courted the local church to try to have favor with believers. Now they condemn the local church. Revive us, Lord. Start right here this Sunday. Come in power and presence. Manifest thyself. Let us feel thy power and thy presence. Lord, I'm not making fun of people's fear. I know there's real fear and there's some things we ought to fear, but most of all, we ought to fear you. But I pray, God, you wouldn't let them be locked in fear. Lord, one day we're going to die unless Jesus comes. So help us to live. I mean live while we're alive. Set us free. Use us for your glory. And then whatever happens here Sunday, we're going to look up to heaven and sing, Jesus paid it all. And we'll thank you for it in his name. Amen. Let's sing.
Y'all turn to 284. 284.